One of the chilling events that will mark 2015 was the massacre in Paris. And now a provocative piece in the January issue of Harper's asks, did the Parisian system of justice contribute to that attack? And it profiles two Algerians to make its point. Remember that Algeria threw off French rule in 1962 after a bloody war. Then in the mid-1990s, France supported an anti-Islamist military junta in Algeria. In response at that time, Islamist militants waged attacks in Paris, ranging from bombings to an infamous airline hijacking, after which France passed a law that allowed officials to round up thousands of Muslims just on suspicion of association with violence. That produced few convictions, but many angry Muslims. And our next guest says it also created prisons that are terrorist factories. Scott Sayers, a journalist based in Paris, but he's in our studios today. And Scott, I'd say Happy New Year, but given the topic, let's just hope we have a Happy New Year.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, tell us first more about this law in France and how it's being used.
The law in France, which is called Association de Malfaiteurs Terroristes, is a law that essentially allows French authorities to charge presumed terrorists preventively. So they like to say that this is a way of neutralizing potentially dangerous people before they, in fact, commit violence.
Well, and so you can arrest someone based on who they seem to be meeting with, where they go, but no material evidence.
That's right. Material evidence from an American standpoint, in any case. Essentially, in order to prove guilt in these cases, you need to have proven connections between people. That can be phone calls or conversations or regular contact of some other kind. And they need to essentially share an ideology. And so long as those two criteria come together, you can be charged guilty with an act of terror.
Of course, the lawyers in France who defend those arrested call these address book crimes. You get arrested just for who you know. Well, because of these laws, an estimated 60% of the prison population in France is made up of Muslims, which make up only 10% of France's general population. The French Minister of Justice has called the prisons there fertile ground for indoctrination because these people who are just suspected because of association then go into the prisons and meet people who are active. You spoke with two men who were in jail, one who seemed to reject militant jihadism, one who's suspected of being behind it. Jamel Begal is one of the two you spoke with. He's suspected of being behind terrorism. He is, as you write, an avuncular, charismatic man, liked by his non-Muslim neighbors in France, also a sort of a magnet for young Muslims, like the two brothers who'd go on to launch the Charlie Hebdo attack. So tell us more about Jamel Begal.
Begal's a man who's been in French prisons for about 15 years now and twice accused of plotting terrorism, but never convicted on particularly strong evidence. He was arrested initially in Abu Dhabi in 2001, alleges he was tortured by the CIA, by MI6, by the French external services, and then flown to France and convicted in 2005. On accusations that he was plotting to bomb the American embassy in Paris, though that was never supported by evidence at trial. In 2010, he was arrested again after having served his sentence and accused of plotting to help break a fellow Islamist from prison and then commit some unnamed act of terror. But he's a man who believes that he has truly been mistreated. And frankly, the French have not been able to provide a great deal of evidence for the evil deeds that they accuse him of wanting to commit.
You've exchanged letters with him. And the one thing that they can trace to him is that he interacted with people who have carried out attacks, met them in prison, or in the case of Kamel Daoudi, met them in Paris. He felt that Begal was someone who was against violence. But he also was arrested in a prison along with Begal. What were they accused of?
Initially, they were arrested on suspicion that they were plotting to bomb the American embassy in Paris. Mm-hmm. But eventually, in the end, they were charged on much more broad terms, which is to say the French were not able to prove that there was any sort of any such plot.
Right. And now Doughty's able to speak to you because he's out of prison, but under a sort of house arrest?
He's being held under house arrest. In fact, he's been held under house arrest for the past 8 years. He served his sentence, and the French intended to expel him to Algeria. That expulsion was blocked because of presumptions that he would be tortured or worse in Algeria. And so he's been held in a small town in the south of France for the past 8 years. sort of in limbo, waiting to see if he'll ever be able to move around.
Having to check in with authorities every day.
Precisely.
And his neighbors seem to like him very much. Well, the takeaway from your article is that there is a realization now in France that prisons are incubators, that if you have someone like Begal in prison, there's a good chance that he's talking to others who will go out and attack. You're nodding yes. The people, though, behind this law that you could just arrest someone and imprison them for associations, they boast about it. They say it's prevented attacks. What are people saying who are worried about the law?
There are many concerns simply about civil rights and the violations of civil rights that this law seems to allow. But in a more systemic way, there's concern that this law, as you said, is in fact creating more potential for terror than it's stopping. And that can happen in prison, but it also can happen in a broad way. There's a sense among Muslims in France quite broadly that they are stigmatized, that they are second-class citizens, treated differently by the laws and targeted differently by the laws than other French. And certainly that sentiment seems to push at least some people into violent acts.
We also spoke to one Frenchman who worries that a generation of these association convicts, they're called association convictions, are now completing their sentence and are going to come out.
That's absolutely right. This was a French prosecutor, actually, who successfully prosecuted Begal on appeal in 2005. And I think what she said is quite pertinent and points us to one realization that the French are having now, which is that in the 90s, when this law came into effect, there was very little consideration for the effects that it might have down the road. And the issue at the time was stopping the bombings, stopping the terror attacks on French soil. And now, essentially, the chickens are coming home to roost. We're seeing that the secondary effects of the activities undertaken in the 1990s are actually quite dangerous themselves.
So what are French officials doing, first of all, about changing the prison system? No one's yet changed the law, but they're thinking perhaps of changing what happens for those who are arrested.
There are efforts to slightly adapt the prison approach. There are some tests that will be going on soon within prisons, attempts to isolate these guys. The initial thinking was that by spreading presumed terrorists throughout the prison population, their effect would essentially be diluted. The realization has been that quite the opposite has happened, and their effect has been spread much more broadly. But the initial thinking was also that it was important not to put them together because they might plot together. They might sort of radicalize one another even further. But that's exactly what's being planned now, which is to say sort of quarantine zones in prisons. There are also some efforts to do de-radicalization programs. Those programs are not at all in line with what has traditionally been French culture around prisons.
Well, for instance, having those accused of thinking about plotting terrorism meet victims of terrorism.
Precisely. But it remains unclear how these programs will be organized and who, frankly, will be willing to participate in them.
So what happens now, Scott? There has been no evidence of either of these men that you speak with participating in any tangible way with causing violence, certainly not carrying it out. And, you know, there's no proof that they've actually encouraged it, either man. But as you write, especially Begal says things that are kind of chilling, you know, with his ideology. You write that it sort of boils down to a matter of trust. Do you trust someone like that who seems to associate with people who end up doing things? I mean, what's the answer to that question?
I wish I had it. I think this is a central question for liberal democracies dealing with terror. To what degree are we willing to accept within our societies points of view that we find truly abhorrent and potentially dangerous?
Give us a for instance with Begal.
Begal is a great fan of the 9/11 attacks, for example. Though he purports to not be a particular fan of violence, he believes that 9/11 was a great success for the Muslim cause, as he would say it. Mm-hmm. I don't myself particularly approve of that sentiment. I'm not sure, however, that it's a safe thing from a democratic standpoint to put him in jail because that's what he feels.
Meanwhile, Daoudi, the man who is out, he had been jailed, but he's out under some sort of house arrest and has kind of said he really thinks all these people are doing these violent things are kind of not for him. He also said probably the most chilling thing in the article. He's not sure. Well, you tell me.
Daoudi told me when I asked him if he thought he might go to Syria if he were ever taken out of house arrest, He told me in a very thoughtful way, I think, that he wasn't altogether sure. He didn't think so, but that people can change and one can't pretend to know anyone else, let alone oneself. And I think, unfortunately, that's a reality that liberal democracies have to deal with. We can't know what our citizens will do. And it appears that putting them in prison preventively is quite simply not a solution to that fundamental problem.
That's Gutser, a journalist based in Paris. His article, The Ultimate Terrorist Factory, is about prisons in France filled in many cases with Islamists who are rounded up under a law that allows for arrest and detention based on just a fear of association with terrorists. It appears in the January issue of Harper's Magazine. Scott, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.